Hey, everybody. Welcome in. Thanks for joining us. I'm James Adams. He's Skeeter Robinson. This is the Fantastics My Fantasy Fix DFS Golf Podcast. And Skeeter, we get ready for a little bit of a wind down in the Valspar Championship. But before we do that, we'll take a look back at the Players Championship. TPC Sawgrass delivers again. Scottie Scheffler runs away with it. What are you taking from the big domination from Scheffler once again?
Isn't there saying like one's a fluke, two's a trend?
Something like that, sure.
Yeah, like at this point, Scott, I mean, if you thought 2022 was a fluke for Scheffler, I think 2023 has proven it isn't. Already winning Phoenix again, was in contention at API, and then just goes and dominates the Players. Like, this guy is for real. Just an incredible run, and boy, you almost wonder, is he going to carry this to Augusta?
It's going to be interesting. He's already defended one championship, and I think it was at API they were saying the list of multiple defenses in a year. So players who have defended multiple championships in a year, it's like Tiger, 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 Vijay Singh, Jack. And so Scottie Scheffler is going to have a couple more opportunities to add himself to that list. And obviously Augusta will be that next one. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm not going to lie, though. I couldn't help but look at the leaderboard and the gap between Hatton and Scheffler and think, if some of the top players from the LIV tournament were in this field, would they be filling in that gap at all? A Dustin Johnson, a Brooks Koepka, fill in the blanks.
I mean, the defending champion wasn't there unless he went there.
There you go.
Unless he went there to watch because he said he was going to. Of course, they weren't going to show that, but No, I mean, the way Scheffler played, like, I don't think he was beating him over the weekend. Just ultra-consistent and, you know, just kind of way he is. Like, even when he hit, like, a tee shot, I think it was on 14 or 15 on like, a mound on Sunday, just hits out to the fairway, puts the ball within 20 feet, and, you know, missed the putt, but bogey, but he was fine. He didn't need a birdie at the time. He just needed to avoid the big number, and you know, he had that fist pump on 17 once he got the ball on the green. So at that point, it was over.
It's like, I'm halfway home. I'm halfway to cashing that paycheck at that point.
Yeah, a nice $4.5 million.
It is a nice check. And congratulations to you for using him in one and done. We'll of course, get more into that later. But congrats, my friend.
Thanks. Yeah, because, you know, we missed API and I had Rory there. But, yeah, going back to API, my guy, Kitayama, like, what? To hold off that field and make that putt on 17 to kind of clinch it in the tough conditions, what a win.
It was definitely a good win. I was out enjoying what I figured might be one of my last Sundays before having to have Monday obligations again soon. So I actually had a very good day just hanging out at the bar watching that one, too. That was a good finish. And again, my boy Hatton had some fun that day too. And yeah, but the feed off, it was Rory, right? That was right there with him.
And I bet Rory 40-1 after round one. So I was like, oh, I could have used that. But had him one and done in that. And yeah, as I said, yeah. So that was a cool stretch. But yeah, Kitayama, you know, I think the PGA Tour also kind of needed that. They kind of needed one of these. I won't say second, third, fourth tier golfers, whatever you want to consider them, but one of these unknown, unheralded players, like Kitayama certainly has had success over the DP World Tour, but to go win one of these elevated events and stare down all these big names, like, I think that's nothing but good for them.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely get what you're saying, because I've been thinking, man, it's probably a time to just start betting, you know, more money on one of the big dogs, because we keep seeing just the big dogs winning. So maybe I wasn't thinking the same thing, but certainly observing the same thing, that it was nice to see somebody else actually get the job done rather than just get close like that. And I don't know, maybe we'll have someone like that this week. Maybe we won't. I don't know. You ready to talk a little Valspar?
Yep.
Well, Innisbrook Resort, I think it's the last stop in Florida, Palm Harbor, just north of Tampa. I'm actually going to be about 30 miles south of the event, but I won't be at the event this week. A little vacation. We'll see if there's any drifting north. But, Skeeter, we go to Innisbrook Resort, Copperhead Course. What are we looking here?
Yeah, so, sorry, I'm trying to pull up my stats here. Par 71, there's five par threes, so that's just kind of the oddity here, but everything else is kind of normal with your par fours, par threes. Sam Burns has won the past 2 years. You've mentioned, you know, before that was Paul Casey who won the past 2 years, so it is kind of a little bit of a weird weird correlation where we see, like, multiple winners winning back-to-back years, but Tina Green's going to be big here. There are, I think, nine holes with water on them, so not as bad as we've seen the past 2 weeks at the Honda and the Players, but, or an API in 3 weeks, I guess. But there's enough water to cause some issues, so I'll look at birdies are better, but also bogey avoidance. Most of the strokes here are par 5 gain that you want to keep an eye on. Scrambling is enough. There are some tough parts to this. Proximity range, I'm going to look from 175 to 200, 200 plus, and a little bit of putting. This basically turned into an approach and putting contest, so other than that, top of the field, not bad, but then it drops off pretty quick. So it'll be interesting to see the strategies that people want to employ this week.
Yeah, ownership up top will be really interesting, especially, as you said, we dig through the middle pieces of the puzzle as far as salary cap goes. And it's like, oh, maybe people will load up top. It'll be interesting to see how we dig through it. Are you ready to take a look at this field?
I am.
Well, let's do it. And you mentioned the top. It's four strong in the 10K plus. Justin Thomas, 10-9. Jordan Spieth, 10-6. Sam Burns, 10-2. Matthew Fitzpatrick is 10K even. Skeeter, where are you going here? Who's your favorite?
I mean, he's not going to rate out well statistically, but he's starting to play better. And, oh, yeah, he's won here two straight times. It's Sam Burns. Six at Phoenix. He missed at Genesis, missed at API, but it was 35th last week at the Players. A little bit putting base. Like, his putter's been fine. It's actually his irons that have been struggling a little bit, but, you know, he's won here twice, so maybe that just boosts some confidence. Yeah, he's second in the field in the past 24 rounds putting. Good scrambling, good bogey lines, good birdies are better. I think Spieth and Thomas are going to be more popular than him, so the two-time defending champ at 10-2 might create a little bit of an interesting opportunity here.
I don't know if I really have a hardcore favorite. I have a pretty strong fade. I think Burns is my favorite, too. You kind of just went through them. I could be honest with you, though. I could play Spieth. I could play Fitzpatrick in the end. It might be pricing that gets me on either or, because they both, too, have a very good course history. So, spoiler alert, I'm fading JT just because I'm not ready to pay up for him at the way he's been playing compared to these other three. So I hate to jump the gun and give you the whole thing, but the reality is Burns, what you said, makes a lot of sense. Spieth has had success here, as has had Fitzpatrick. This seems to be a place that repeats success. I mean, maybe I'm overrating that because of the repeat winners in consecutive biannual events, but maybe I am. I don't know.
I mean, I think Thomas has a decent history here. Third, 13. Yeah, he's played very well here. Spieth won. We haven't seen him play here in a few years. I'm looking at Fitzpatrick.
Fifth last year. I'm not sure that constitutes a great course history.
No, but maybe that's another one. The weather gets worse, so it might be a slightly better aim to him. Burns, two wins, a 30th and a 12th, so yeah, I don't mind Spieth here. He rates out extremely well across all ranges, short-term and long-term, so I think that'll gain some popularity. I get your Thomas points.
He's just not putting very good right now. I'm not paying up for him when Jordan's cheaper, and I'm just not paying up for him right now. I'm burned. I used him in some lineups last week, which he made the cut better than some of the others at the top of the board, but he's not showing results right now.
No, and he was popular one and done, so I was, you know, that didn't break my heart to see him not cash real high, so
I'll concur with that.
And Fitzpatrick, he's fine. Like, yeah, it's not a tier I love. Like, it's Burns and maybe Spieth, and maybe that's about it.
I'm with you. Are you ready to take it to the 9Ks then?
Yes.
We will do that, and here we get Tommy Fleetwood at 98, Justin Rose, 96, Keegan Bradley, 94, Denny McCarthy, 93, Adam Hadwin, 92, Brian Harman's 91, and Davis Riley is 9K. Skeeter, where are you going in the 9K to get started?
Well, before we get there, I know you had a chuckle over the Vampire striking my fantasy team down on 17 yesterday.
Didn't you have his playing partner yesterday,
Taylor
too?
Montgomery,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, they both went in the water together in a terrible collision of badness for you in our league.
Yeah, and Montgomery then put another ball in the water, so yeah, I had a free.
I think so.
Yeah, I had three balls in the water in that group. Like, oh, well, there goes my chance to win the week in that league.
I didn't bring it up, but I certainly did piggyback on.
No, but as soon as Rob said something, you were right there on it.
That's correct.
I mean, you just couldn't help yourself. But
it is the vampire, after all. How could I not help myself as he continues to suck the joy out of your lineups right there at the precipice of goodness?
Yeah, well, again, I was too busy sweating Scheffler, so I was okay with that loss. All right, I'll go with the boom bust guy here, who's starting to kind of show some signs of life at 9,200. Adam Hadwin, former winner here, past six appearances, wins 7th and 12th and 3 cuts. So basically, he's top 15 or nothing. Good players last week, 13th. Keeps losing strokes putting, which is kind of odd for him. His off-the-tee game has been there. Approach has been solid. Like, I think he eventually figures out the putting. And he's putting, I mean, he's had okay putting success here. I mean, it's kind of been all over the place, just like he has been. But, I don't know, 9,200. Good form, good history. I don't mind taking a chance on Hadwin. Really good tee to green player. Good net proximity from 175 to 200. Good bogey avoidance.
I don't want to pay that much for Adam Hadwin, but I'm not going to argue with you that he's in my top three in this tier. I'll just kind of shift him to three and just say, I'll go back to Keegan Bradley. He's had some success here. Perhaps maybe a little bit of a bite in the keister by missing the cut with a very poor Friday. So I'll go with Keegan Bradley on a bounce back this week, maybe a little more motivated than some of the others in this field. And he's shown some really good form outside of that missed cut there.
Yeah, and so far early, boy, the three least popular players in 9K plus, Harmon, Fitzpatrick, McCarthy.
The least popular?
Of the 9K plus, yeah.
Really? Because, I mean, well, then I'll just go ahead and say Denny Mac's my number two.
Oh, yeah, yeah, he's tied for second least.
Yeah, Denny Mac's my other guy. I've kind of have him, Hadwin, and Bradley together as the three in the 9K that I'll probably rally around.
Hadwin is the most popular in this kind of
range. Not surprised.
Tommy is second. I'm assuming your fade's going to be third. Vampire.
I'm actually probably fading Brian Harmon.
No, I think everybody else is too, because what is he doing up here?
He was fifth last year. A year ago, Brian Harmon was playing some incredible golf, so yes. Maybe people are still buying in. He did, I'm going to say he splashed at the players. That's probably not a thing anyone ever wants to hear about their performance. He was decent enough at a T44, maybe got some people excited, but I agree. I mean, but are you going to tell me that he doesn't deserve to be where Adam Hadwin is? Like, and I get it. Hadwin, good course history, and probably playing a little bit better. But look at the names below. I mean, I'm not sure Brian Harmon deserves to be below any of these other guys, because I think we've just reached a cliff.
Well, I got a couple of guys coming up here. But
okay.
But, I mean, Harmon hasn't gained strokes on approach this calendar year.
Wow.
His best was losing a tenth of a stroke at the Tournament of Champions. He lost 5.8 at API, 2.5 last week. Like, he's just not in the form right now to justify 9,100. And I think there's some guys playing better who are below him that I think should be there. So, yeah, I see why Harmon's my fade. He just isn't putting up the results right now.
And I could see myself using the Vampire, by the way, this week. There seems to be a European success rate here, too.
Well, I think it's all Florida, really.
Yeah, maybe so. That's where a lot of them migrate to when they decide to move and play on the PGA Tour.
Right. You want to hear a weird one, which they said yesterday, and I couldn't believe. No Englishman has ever won the Players.
That is surprising.
For as much as success as those Euros have in Florida, I'm surprised none of them, and there's been some great English players throughout the years, I'm surprised none of them took down the Players.
Yeah, that is surprising. I mean, Rory, North Ireland. I was like, wait a minute, Rory. But yeah, he's close, but no cigar.
Right.
That is surprising.
So the only other guy I might have some interest in is the 9K, Davis Riley. I think he lost a painful way in a playoff last year. He did something down the stretch or lost in a playoff. I forget how he did it, but He missed the players when he was 8th at API, 29th at Honda. So the form is starting to show a little bit. Kind of inconsistent all over the place, so this may just be a one-year sample size on him. But 9K winners, just not much else going on around here. He's number one in opportunities gained. He's 11th approach, 2015 to green. I could potentially take a chance there, but I think I might like a couple players right below him better.
Well, I told you I would fade Harmon here. Yes. Where is that? You're concurring with that sentiment.
Yeah, I think that's an easy fade. But game theory says, hey, if he's going to be 4% and everybody else is in double digits, there you go.
Might find usage for him. I'll be interested to see your take in the 8Ks. Justin Suh, 8,900. Wyndham Clark, 88. Matt McNeely is 87. Gary Woodland, 86. Brandon Wu, 85. Ben Griffin's 84. Taylor Moore, 83. Aaron Rye, 82. JT Poston, 81. And KH Lee finishes us off at 8K Skeeter. Where are you going here?
My new guy, Justin Suh.
All right.
I mean, he just keeps playing great golf. Like,
he was 6K in the 6Ks last week, right? Like 69, something like that?
Probably.
Talk about woulda, coulda, shoulda. I had four guys in the 6Ks that I was considering. I used two of them, and he was not one of them, but I considered him. I'm like, oh, man, if I'd have just zigged a few places where I zagged. But that's the story of my player's usage. Oh, any yeah. rate, yeah, I think he was like 6,800.
I mean, first of all, he hasn't missed a cut since the Shriners. His Florida swing, 5th at Honda, 24th API, 6th at Players. His approach numbers have been great. His putting has mainly been there. Off the tee can be a little bit of a concern, but 8,900, I mean, the way he's playing in Florida, he feels like another one that's on the verge of a win. I don't know if this is a spot, but why not? 6th in approach, 8th birdies are better, 12th tee to green, 3rd in proximity from 200+, 10th in putting. Like, he's just playing way too well, I think, to ignore.
I'm not going to argue with it. I was surprised to see him at the top of the 8Ks just because of last week. But anyway, no argument. I will certainly consider him. I'm going to go down to the bottom and say Aaron Rye. He's a player I used a lot last year. Mm-hmm. Had a little bit of a lull when we hit the Honda. But that was his miscut API. He sandwiched some decent rounds around a couple of poor ones. Still made a cut there. Was good at the Players. 8,200 almost seems kind of cheap for him, considering how good he looked a week ago.
I mean, some of that was probably helped by the hole-in-one on Saturday, but...
Sure.
But yeah, no, I mean, if you like the European angle, I don't have a problem with him. Not really popping for me. Good tee to green would be about it, but... Look, I never mind playing Aaron Rye, so I'm not going to talk you out of that one.
Where else are you going if you don't go Justin Suh? You get a couple going.
I might be right below him to Wyndham Clark. Here's another guy who hasn't missed a cut since the Shriners. Granted, his best finish is 2/10, so, I mean, he's not putting up, you know, single-digit place finishes, but he's playing pretty solidly, and approach has been pretty good. Lost a 10th last week to the Players. Putting's been fine. Off the tee has been hit or miss a little bit, but consistency in a field where... Who knows where we're at if we're not looking a ton at top. 8,800 for Wyndham Clark, who's first in opportunity, second tee to green in approach, fourth par five, sixth birdies or better. Makes some sense to me.
I like both guys you like there. I would say that they're certainly going to be in my top five in this tier. I'll go with Brandon Wu because I think he certainly deserves some consideration after a pretty decent start to his Florida swing. 14th at Honda, 19th. Here at the, or not here, but last week at the Players. So I will take some Brandon Wu as a player I'll take a look at here. Was 33rd here a year ago. I'd like to see a little better than that. But at this price range, I'll be honest with you, Skeeter, there's not a ton I'm really in love with.
No, and yeah, as you said, Brandon Wu, I mean, he did most of it was putting last week, but good at Honda. And, well, I'll just give you a little preview. If we're doing a Wu head-to-head, I will take Dylan Wu later on.
Well, we will see if which side Ric Flair has when it all settles.
Ah, Nate.
That's so bad. I don't have anything more to say in the positive here, do you?
I do not. By the way, only if Siwoo Kim was here, too.
It would be nice. I think he deserves a break. I don't know why I would say that.
Dylan Wu, Siwoo Kim, Brandon Wu.
Oh, I can come up with some. I'll think on it.
Are you listening to Wu-Tang Clan?
Occasionally. I will.
Okay.
You know, I'm more of just a Bobby Digital guy after the fact, but... All right, Skeeter, who are you fading in the 8Ks?
You know, I was about done just mentioning that one, so...
Well, you know, what are you going to do? He was one of the members.
I think we all know about my music weaknesses of life. You especially do with the serious intro every time I come on. Maverick McNeely is my fade. I mean, good bogey avoids, good scrambling, but he's just given so many opportunities, not great from 200+, and... You know, he just hasn't been doing a ton. I mean, 7th at Sony, 31st at Farmers, but kind of came back from a little bit of a hiatus last week. All putting, by the way. Major lost 4 strokes off the tee, 3.5 approach, gained 7 putting. Not really where I want to go, so he will be my fade.
I've got a couple. JT Poston's the one I'll go with, though. Again, he's not doing a whole lot either. 63rd is the best we've seen out of him since January. I will pass.
Nope, that's fair.
7K, Skeeter. It's going to get interesting. I think there's some names in here, though, that we'll pick throughout. I'll start with you. Who stands out to you, if anyone?
I mean, I think he had a little bit of injury concern a week or two ago, but I'm talking about somebody who's had a nice 2023 calendar year so far. It's Sam Ryder at 7,300. Rates out very good in bogey avoidance, good par 4, good scrambler, good putter, good proximity from 175+. The only thing he kind of struggles with is par 5, which is a slight concern, but I mean, he missed at API. It might have been off the injury. 44th of the players, he lost 5 strokes on approach. I'm assuming he might have had a hole where he put a ball or two in the water, but prior to that, his approach has been fine. The putter's been there. Off the tee, he did improve that in the players, but you know, in this field, once we start getting down to this range, somebody who's at least had decent form this year, I'll take a chance on Sam Ryder at 7,300.
I could get after a couple of guys. I don't know if there's a favorite I have per se. There's a few up top. I'm going to go with David Lingworth, though. Okay. I was on him a couple weeks ago, and I think it was probably the week he missed the cut at the Farmers. But he's had 4 consecutive made cuts. He was good at the Players a week ago. He was good at Honda a few weeks ago. He's had some success here. And there's been some Swedish success here. I don't know if there's really anything to that. Carl Pettersson has won this thing. I guess Stenson just has good history everywhere. But he's got good history here, too. I don't know what, if anything, that has to do with my Swedish narrative. But I'm going to go with Lingworth here, man.
Yeah, not he does kind of pop up time to time and certainly did last week. Not somebody I'm on. But, again, you want to play the form, coming off of good players, why not?
Who else you like?
Up top in the 7K range, Benny On and Steven Yeager. Like, Yeager just keeps making cuts. Like, at some point, we got to start keeping him seriously. Like, he's only missed Phoenix, prior to that was Bermuda, but 14th at Honda, 44th at Players. The putter's kind of let him down, but off the tees there, approach is good. Like, I have no problem with that. And Benny On, another one who's been making some cuts. Approach number's been good. Off the tee's a little bit of a concern, but, you know, those are two guys that I think have been playing well at this price range.
The only cut Ben On doesn't make is when I get all in on him on that week, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Garrett Higgo's showing some signs of life. It's been up and down, but Higgo's a name at 7,600. He's won more than once before, so he's got that closing ability for me there. Akshay Bhatia, I'm going to take a look at him.
Man.
Second at Puerto Rico. He flashed a couple of weeks ago at Honda. I'm feeling like, you know, this is one of those fields where one of these young names, not Higgo so much, he's done it before, but Bhatia could find himself in contention if not getting the job done. Wouldn't you look at a Pearson Cootie again in this field and say he's got a chance to compete?
Yeah, but back to Bhatia. I was listening to PGA Tour radio before the final round yesterday, and they had a nice long interview with him, and he was just, I mean, his answers were solid, just what a likable guy. His reaction when he found out he got his tour card was, I thought was pretty cool. He actually got his first start as a 17-year-old was here at Valspar, so.
Oh, I did not know that, nor did I hear that interview, so.
No, it's pretty cool that he gets a return to that one. Nate Lashley rates out well for me with good proximity, good bogey avoidance, good par 5 player. I don't know what he's been doing recently. Third at Puerto Rico, 20th at Genesis. Made the cut last week, so not terrible.
What about Eric Cole? I mean, he missed the cut at API after the close call at Honda, but then he backs it up at the Players with the 27th, which I'll be honest with you, that was a strong weekend from him that I didn't really recognize, 3 and 4 under respectively. I mean, at 7,300, he's got to be in consideration, no?
Yeah, I mean, he rates out really well. Let's see, what is he, you know, yeah, the approach numbers were there. Yeah, I wonder about still let down, but I guess, you know, last week at the Players, that was a real performance, so that I could go with. Ryan Gerard would be the other one that you wonder, like, he was good at Honda, and I think he was, like, 11th at Puerto Rico, or 10th, maybe he's 10th, that's why he's in this field, but, yeah, that was another, yeah, that's another one. Tyler Duncan kind of popped to me a little bit, also at 7,300. We keep mentioning all these players, but third at Honda, gained on approach at the Players last week, lost gross putting, but 33rd Genesis, so he's been playing okay. That, you know, former PGA Tour winner, I think I could kind of look at a little bit.
I'm not sure if I've got anything else I'm looking for in the 7Ks.
No, I have a couple other guys starred, like Brantlett and Shelton, Ben Martin, but I don't know if those are at the top of my list.
And I do think I'm scaling it back to 3 lineups again this week versus the 10 I did for the Players. I'll probably do 10 entries on the Masters again, but I'm going to scale it back to normal behavior this week. So that's really all I've got going in this tier. You got a fade for me?
Not really. I guess I'll just go Webb.
That's sad.
I know. I mean, Webb at 73, Kisner at 7K, we're not even considering them. That's... There's going to be a bounce back at some point, and we thought maybe it was with Webb at, where did he play well, API?
He's had one good week. I'm not sure where it is off the top of my head. It was one good week. He was 24, you're exactly right, 24th at API. Yeah. And he closed with a 66 that was really his moment.
Right, so I think people are trying to jump on him, hoping he had figured something out, and I don't think that happened at the Players.
I will be fading Bo Hostler. He's missed 3 cuts in a row, man.
Oh, your guy.
He is my guy. He's on my team, but he's certainly not on my radar this week.
Yeah, nope, that's fair.
6K, Skeeter. You know I got something.
I got a couple names down here. In fact, I already previewed one of them for you. You know what? Give me Dylan Wu at 6,800. Rates out pretty solidly. Opportunity, birdies, bogey avoidance. Good par 4 player, good proximity for 200 plus. Really, scrambling is the only thing he potentially struggles with, but 29th at Pebble, 10th at Honda, 48th at Puerto Rico, 35th last week at Players. His around the green is a little bit of a struggle, and that could be an issue here at Valspar, but everything else is solid. For a guy who's rating out that well to be 6,800, yeah, that's why, you know. So I said, I'll take Dill over Brandon.
Well, I'll keep my Brandon, but that's okay. I will also take one Charlie Hoffman.
Of course.
Here. He's actually got decent course history. I'll have a lineup with him. The truth is, though, Skeeter, looking at some names that I have some legitimate interest in, Jason Duffner down at, I think he was 6,300. He's played well here before, and he's had a couple of good outings recently. Well, I say good. I'm talking about good enough to throw in your lineup down at the very bottom of the barrel. Jim Herman has had a few moments. Yeah, Duffner is 6,300. He was 44th at Puerto Rico. He 74th at Honda, 32nd at Waste Management. So 3 consecutive made cuts at 6,300. And my boy Herman just had a T14 not too long ago. Was 44th. He's got 3 consecutive cuts made as well. So those are my true like deep dives at 6,300.
Okay, I got one guy who I can't say I've ever heard of or ever played, but he rates out decently well at 6,600, Augusto Nunez.
Okay.
So here's his 2023 so far. 41st at Sony, missed at the American Express, 31st at Farmers, 48th at Pebble, 71st at Honda, 50th at Puerto Rico. Like, his irons have not been great. His around the green has been great, but off the tee's been okay. Putting not there, but keeps making cuts.
That's not even the 6,600 Argentine that I had on my list. Because Tano Goya's made cut after cut after cut. 11th at Puerto Rico, 55th at Honda, 55th at Pebble Beach, 53rd at Farmers, and 22nd at American Express. Missed the cut at Sony. He's made every cut since. So that's funny that we both had two random. I can't tell you. I remember seeing Goya's name at some point on some leaderboard, but I can't tell you that I know a ton about him. But we both had a 66K Argentine. How about that?
That's not even, I was going to say former Masters champion, but I think he's having some legal issues himself.
He got six to life, didn't he?
Something happened to him.
I don't know what he really got. I'm just I don't know. I don't know what I'm making. Not a good joke.
Where's Andres Romero when we meet up for Argentina?
We'll call him in the bullpen when we need him. Skeeter, you got a fade for me in 6K. Are you even going to end up finding yourself in 6K?
I think Wu will definitely be there. Matt Walls kind of popped a little bit, but probably won't go there. If I go here, it's Dylan Wu. Maybe I go to Nunez. My fade. Yeah, why not? JB Holmes.
Okay, that is certainly fine to do, because I actually used him in a week up lineup. Nico Echevarria, I only threw him in a week up lineup because he was like in the 6Ks, and well, outside of the win at Puerto Rico, it's been a bunch of miscuts, so I will not be using him here.
Are you going to be playing Silver Sabs?
Maybe he's got decent course history. Like probably not, but he does have decent course history, and I did say that that's something I always probably overweigh, but then was thinking about even more regarding it in this course. So I didn't bring him to the forefront because I thought Duffner was maybe my like 6K guy with history, but I don't know, maybe.
I mean, Duffner's playing better, so I mean.
That's where I went there. But you know how me and Rory are.
I know.
We like to be real with each other.
I mean, you got Silver Sabs, you got Hoffman and Herman all in your 6Ks. Like, those are your
guys. You got the Herminators, Silver Sabs, and the Seagull. You got everybody down here, dog.
Yeah.
Skeeter, are we ready to take this thing to one and done?
Yes.
Well, brother, in this field. Okay. You just picked Scheffler in one and done at the Players. You got yourself 4.5. My less than a million from Max Homa was nice, but not as nice as I needed it to be. In the end, we still have four majors left. Is it time for anybody to over-evaluate where they are in the standings right now?
If you're at the bottom, I think it's time to potentially start finding ways to get unique. I mean, there are still four majors, the Memorial and the Heritage being elevated events, but, I mean, I'm at, like, 9 million or something, and, you know, I'm 114th, which is good.
I'm at 4.6.
Yeah, I mean, that's not bad, but it's just going to be so hard to catch up at this point, but there's still enough ways to do it. Part of my thinking when it comes to one of the, like, why I used Homa at Riviera, why I used Scheffler last week was, well, they already had wins, like, and big wins. Like, I needed to play them at events where they could make more than they had previously. So that way I kind of I'd have the winning pick over them. And, you know, that's happened. Homa for a second Riviera made more than winning at Farmers, I believe. Scheffler winning at the Players was much more than Phoenix. So, You know, that's why I'm not going to use, like, Justin Thomas. Well, I mean, he hasn't won yet, but I kind of want to save him. This doesn't feel like a spot. I mean, I guess I'm kind of looking. Adam Hadwin, Justin Suff, I get really cute. Sam Burns is the obvious play here, but
in our league, he's 92% available still. He's going to be used over 10% this week, right?
I would assume, and I don't mind, you know, for these non-elevated events, I don't know if going different is the worst strategy at all.
I still feel like I'm going to continue to just attack the top of the board. That's been my mindset throughout this entire season so far. Obviously, it's still very early. But I feel like there's been times where I've gotten too cute in previous seasons, had players left on the board that I couldn't understand why I hadn't used, when I would instead have gone down the board to a Denny McCarthy or an Adam Hadwin. I mean, the reality is, maybe you do go to Hadwin. Great course history, and if he wins, it's the right pick. But I probably will just go with Sam Burns or Keegan Bradley or Matt Fitzpatrick. Because I probably don't think I want to use Jordan or Justin, but I don't think I want to go anything further than, you know, Keegan.
I think I already used Fitzpatrick, so I don't think I can use him. Tommy interests me a little bit, but I don't know. I might get to Tuesday or Wednesday and just end up on Sam Burns, because I did that last week. I thought, I'm going to go between Lowry or Connors, and then I got to Tuesday. I'm like, no, you know what? Don't be stupid here. Just take Scheffler. And that worked out pretty well.
It did work out pretty well. It's easy to look back and go, oh, that's the move now. But it doesn't mean that it's going to be the move this week. So, and I think you're right. Like, if you're going to take a chance, maybe this is a week, because there's less money to miss out on at the top than other weeks.
Right. And, you know, even if I go with a Hadwin or Suh, or, you know, Keegan might get some attention, McCarthy, like, they're still among the top 10 players odds-wise, and that's typically the range you want to be at, so.
That's fair.
I mean, it's not like I'm going to get overly cute here, play my guy Dylan Wu, who I do like, but that, you know, that's getting a little way too cute.
That would be cute. That would be cute. Skeeter? I've got nothing further for the Valspar other than, I'm hoping to, I'd say, get back on track. I cashed some tickets last week, but I put so many in, I'm not sure. I'd like to get back on the winning ways that I had going, just playing the three lineups again. So I'm kind of looking forward to scaling down. Not that I won't get big once again, the Masters hits.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. And then next week is match play,
which I'm always a proponent of. So,
which I still don't know if the LIV golfers are there or not.
I have no idea. I have no clue. Well, to be determined.
I kind of hope they are, just for some variety's sake.
Not to mention the actual head-to-head, you know what I mean? Like, gimmies, non-gimmies, all that kind of stuff. That'll be more interesting in that regard. So I hope so as well. I would guess they're not there, but I don't know that answer.
I would too, but, I mean, this is all the different federations, and they can play on the Euro Tour or the DP World Tour. They play on the Asian Tour, so who's in charge of the WGC, I guess? I don't know.
I don't know that answer either.
We'll find out Friday afternoon when the field gets released.
I look forward to it, my friend.
As do I.
Well, Skeeter, anything further on the Valspar?
I don't have anything else.
Good luck to you, my friend, and thank you, and thank everybody for listening. For Skeeter Robinson, I'm James Adams. This has been the Fantastics My Fantasy Fix DFS Golf Podcast.